So as we looked at in chapter 1, kind of kicked off the Proverbs, and we see wisdom means skillful living, and what we're going to see is about over 100 times in the book of the Proverbs, it says either walk or way or path. And, you know, it's kind of interesting as we find ourselves on Sunday in the book of Ephesians, and we find ourselves in the practical application in Ephesians, all about our walk. And the Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon are wisdom to walk by, wisdom to live by. And it's interesting, you know, and it's not necessarily just the Proverbs that we're to have an understanding of. But here we have really supernatural wisdom from God, how we're to navigate this life and the world that we live in. And so what we're going to see is chapter 2 is about the protection, or wisdom protects his children. Chapter 3, wisdom directs his children, and then chapter 4, we get into it, wisdom perfects his children. And so, and that idea of mature, that we're to grow in those things and grow in wisdom. Because the truth of the matter is, you can be the smartest person on earth and be a fool. I mean, we'll come across it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are a lot of people that are extremely intelligent, but God would say they're fools. Because the key, really, to the Proverbs is verse 7, verse 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I remember years ago, one of the gentlemen that used to go here, and we were talking, and he, you know, didn't find it really necessary to come into the service because he already knew what he already knew what the Bible said. And, you know, and right then it's just, you know, okay, eventually that person's going to be gone because he already knows it all and knows everything. The thing about the wisdom of God, it calls us to seek after it, because some of the wisdom is easily discernible, it's easily understandable, but there are other things in the wisdom, and not just in the Proverbs, but in all of Scriptures, that takes digging, it takes searching, it takes meditating upon, it takes prayer, asking the Lord to guide and direct and to open our eyes. And, you know, and so we're going to see a lot of that as we go through. There is quite a bit of repetition of wisdom sayings and wisdom wise ideas that God gives us. And there's a purpose for that. Jesus repeated a lot of the things he said to the multitudes that came and saw him. And we see repetition of certain themes and stuff throughout the Scripture. And when they're repeated, we need to take note of it. But the truth of the matter is, the psychologists and they do studies on people, and so I'll just put it this way: you as a group will likely retain 25% of what you hear tonight if you write things down and are really paying attention. And so, imagine if you we kind of look at the Word of God like this. God repeats things because he knows that we forget things. And he really repeats, you know, we find the things that are very important that we need to take note of. And so just kind of keep that in mind. Because if you're like me, you know, you can hear some things and then you could walk away and then you come across it again and go, oh yeah, I had set my heart to really walk according to that, and somewhere along the way, you know. So it's very, you know, good idea. And however you want to do it, I am not a, you must get up and you must, but, you know, a wise man may read a proverb a day. It's 31 proverbs, right? 31 proverbs, normally 31 days. And so we have wisdom for men, wisdom for women. It says, my son, understand that obviously the culture when this was written was, you know, the certainly male-focused, but we understand, you know, look at women support the home now by working sometimes out of the home and those other things. So this is, look at my children, but this is Solomon writing to his son or sons. So don't take, well, why does it say my daughter or my, you know, my she? What is it? Don't we have the dumb pronouns and stuff like that? Look, you know, we're not going to go that route, but understanding that this is for God. This is God writing to his children through the wisdom, you know, of the Holy Spirit of God that inspired the writing of the scriptures. And what we have are highly concentrated truths. They're wise counsel for God's children. And we need to hear those things. And it's more than, like I said, it's more than just the Proverbs. It's all of the scripture. It's to have a heart to understand and uncover and get to the bottom of all of what God has, all of what God has given us that reveals who he is. And just, you know, and so let's pick up verse or chapter 2. Chapter 2, I want you to go verse 1, circle if, and verse 9, circle then if you have your Bibles. This is the basic language that man has adopted for, right, those of us that in computers, you know, computers, the first language, the basic language, if then. Everything was if this, then this, right? Where did they get there from? The Proverbs, to a great extent, are written in a basic language for you and I. Some of it we're going to have to dig at. Other things are very, very easily understood. But chapter 2 says, if, then, and then verse 20 circles so, or the idea of because of. So if this, then this is what will occur in your lives. This is what wisdom will do for you. And because of that, this is the result. That's basically chapter 2. All right? Maybe that'll help in your own readings if you have those things circled and understand that. So, my son, my daughters, my children, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, that so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Incline, you know, just lean into those things. And we're going to see, you know, some of the things that were said in chapter 1. We're going to see, this, you know, similar things in chapter 2. Obviously, understanding, discernment, these words, these ideas, way, path, walk, all repeated constantly by way of reminder. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter, chapter 2, verse 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. So the instruction to remind, we need to be reminded. God knows you. He knows me. I need to be reminded a lot. Second Peter. Peter wrote this in chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. You know them, but you need to be reminded of them. Does this resonate with you? Yeah, it's good, right? To come and to hear the word of God and then open it up and read it for yourself. And those things that we be reminded of, need to be reminded of, the Holy Spirit will draw those things out. And we need to incline ourselves to these things. Incline, lean in to what the Word is saying. And then Jude 1:5, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this. So sometimes it's you already know it, but you need to be reminded of it. And then there are other things that we forget, right? We put on the shelf that we need to be reminded of. And that's what the scripture says. Jude says, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. So we need to be reminded to pull these things back up and so we can live. So it says, yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you cry out for meaning, if you cry out and lift up your voice for understanding, and that understanding, the discernment, he's almost saying, and what wisdom says is, if you cry out for, and what are people saying? What am I here for? A lot of people are, is there any hope in this world? Is there anything after this life? Is there anything, you know, what does it mean? What is my life worth? What am I supposed to, you know, what am I here for? And God says, if you cry out, you'll learn that your life has meaning and your purpose for being here. God will reveal it to you. That discernment. Discernment, certainly we need it today. The discerning of spirits, this Bible talks about, we're told in the scriptures. We need discerning of spirits because most people are completely, they completely miss what's going on in this world. The truth of the matter is what we see happening in this world is wickedness. It is demonic. I'm going to look, most of the protests we see going on in the streets today are demonic. They are led by the enemy of God, you know, and the hatred of Israel and the worship of weather and the worship of climate and everything else, you know, that's the culture. And it's what you see going on is very similar to the 60s. But the thing, you know, about the hippies that were living in protest and, you know, free love and all that other stuff was that they were the counterculture. Where the church finds itself today, and the Lord moved amongst that counterculture, and there was a great revival. The difference today is what we're watching is similar to that, yet that is what our culture is. That is indicative of what our culture is. And we talk about it's a death cult, it is, you know, it's worshiping you know, other gods, and we are the counterculture. Listen, you and I in the church that believe, you know, we're, what do they call us? Christian nationalists. It's terrible. They're the problem, right? And yes, I am a Christian, and I am blessed to have been born in America, and I'm going to stand up for those things, and I'm going to stand up for what I know and what I believe. You know, the sad thing is the reason why the culture is winning, you know, and this is going on and wickedness is winning and overtaking our culture is because there's too many wimps standing in pulpits and sitting in churches today. Oh, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If you've noticed, I'm not real concerned if people leave, if they disagree with what the Word of God says. And if they disagree with our, as a family and a body of Christ, standing for what is right. And the problem is, there are too many people that are more concerned with what man thinks and what man says than what God says. And that's what's happening out in our streets today. And that's why wickedness and falsehood and all of this other garbage is prevailing. And not only prevailing, but what we're seeing in the church today, and we know the chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation that speak of the seven churches are certainly periods of church history, but they're also a picture of the church and different aspects of the compromised church. There's still the martyred church. There's the church that has left its first love, but the major picture, the major temperature of the church at the end of the age when Christ is going to come is the church at Laodicea that's neither hot nor cold. Humanistic, the me church. God is not on the throne, man's on the throne. They are wealthy and have need of nothing. And God says, you don't even realize that you're poor, blind, naked. And you need to be clothed in His righteousness. That's the church, much of the church today. And the reason why things like genocide happened in Israel and, you know, the militant marching in the streets of America, the reason why those things happen, the reason why the things happen in Germany with Hitler is because the church closed its doors, withdrew from what was going on, and didn't have a thing to say about it. Cowards. And we have to decide whether we're going to be cowards in the face of this, understanding what the Word of God is and what wisdom says, and that if we have a discerning spirit, we need a discerning spirit. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, you know, the idea is, you know, and it's to seek as to exhaustion. You're seeking of the treasures, the godly wisdom that comes from the nuggets and everything else that come from the Word of God. It's not a hobby. It shouldn't be a hobby. I mean, is it a hobby or is it something that's heartfelt? Because what it's saying is for the hidden treasures as a secret storehouse. I don't know, any of you watch Gold Rush? I watch Gold Rush. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. You get caught up in this and then you step back and you realize that some, you know, and here they're up in the Yukon, they're up in Alaska, they're all over the place, right? And they drill and they try and find areas where there's concentrations of gold. Some of that gold is 6 feet below the surface. Some of it's 60 feet below the surface. And there are times they will, and they call it overburden, because there's really no gold to be found in the top layer, and that top layer could be 60 feet, and they'll push all of that away to get to the gold-bearing dirt. Now think about this for a minute. They're digging for gold. It's really a hidden treasure. It's hidden underneath the surface. They know it's there, right? It's the same thing as the Scripture. That's what the Bible's saying. We know it's there, but do we seek it and search for it like a treasure seeker, like a gold miner or a silver miner? Silver is not easy to extract. It's in a rock, you know, and then I don't know what the process is really for silver, but it's silver ore, and they have to break it down and heat it up and all kinds of stuff. But gold, think about this. They move hundreds, thousands of tons of dirt to collect ounces of gold. That's seeking, that's searching, that is working, right? To produce ounces of gold, you have to move tons of earth, tons of dirt. And obviously it has to be cost effective, and they figured out how to do that, but when they are in an area that is gold rich, they're actually able to do that. And actually, there's value in that. Listen, we need to, God's saying, seek the wisdom of God as you would seek silver or a hidden treasure. See it as a secret storehouse. Are you willing to dig? Are you willing to spend the time of reading and meditating and praying to get to the bottom of, to find the real richness of what God has given us and has revealed of Himself and of His supernatural wisdom to direct us and protect us and perfect us in our walk and as we grow in Him? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's a simple principle. You don't have... Why? Because you don't ask. If you knowing how... If you, being good fathers and good mothers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you of the wealth of his Spirit, basically is what the Scripture says, if you just ask. He wants. He's willing. He wants to. He gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. So he's a shield, he guards, he preserves, is what we're going to see here. And he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. We're going to see that we are to walk circumspectly as we come in, if you come on Sunday. So we'll look into, we'll probably get a little insight into that. Circumspectly means upright, standing up, standing straight up. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. You know, a lot of people, I don't know what the will of the Lord is. I don't know what the, well, this Proverbs is going to tell you how to figure out what the will of the Lord is for you, because he directs you in your way, in your path. He's got it all right here for you. All you have to do is seek him out. You know, and those things that you're praying about and waiting for to come to you by osmosis, right? Wisdom would say, open up his word. And if you seek, if you're really seeking the wisdom that comes from it, your question will it will be answered, you know, in the right time. And he'll lead you and he'll guide you. I'm just going to give you, and there's no secret, there's no real secret to the will of the Lord for your life. Jesus, he said, what must I do to work the works of God? Or, you know, to know the will of God, the young man asked, and Jesus said, God's will for your life is that you believe in the one whom he sent. That's his will for your life. Well, what else is there? What am I here for? God created you for one thing, to know him and to seek after him. He created you for his good pleasure. I hope that frees some of you up this evening, trying to figure out what you got to do. What do I got to do to make God? What do I got to figure this out. I got to figure that out. And God says, look, I set this whole thing up, man, for you. You exist for my good pleasure. You were created and birthed into you genetically. Each and every one of us are genetically created with a desire to know the Lord. Some of us, you know, and some people suppress it, some people oppress it, some people completely shut it off or try and shut it off. They try and find it in other things. You know, it's all those warnings we're going to have that come up in the Proverbs. But the truth of the matter is, God said, look, seek first my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Know me. Everything in the Scripture says this. It starts with knowing him and then worshiping him and then honoring him. And all these things will be added unto you. And that's what this is going to talk about. You're going to be able to go to sleep at night with peace, knowing God's got it, even if it looks impossible. And it rings true every time. Have you ever worried about something so much that it affected you, yet you prayed about it, Lord, what's going on, this, that, everything else, only for the Lord to handle it and you come out on the other side, what was I worried? He's had it the whole time. He had the perfect answer. He never does it the way that you want it done. Just so you know, I've learned that multiple times throughout the years. But he is a shield to those who walk upright. He guards the path of justice, preserves the way of his saints. He walks along with you hand in hand the whole way. You know, I like that Footprints. You guys know the poem Footprints. The end of that is, and in those times when you only saw 1 foot of footprints, it's then that I carried you. And that's true. That's his promise. Does that mean life isn't painful? Life isn't challenging? That there aren't going to be trials and tribulations? No, that's not what it talks about. But he's there through those things. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. So as you understand, meaning, as it gives meaning, right? As we understand I'm here to serve him, to know him. And as we grow in that understanding, as we grow and there's meaning given to our lives, right? It says it will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. To deliver you, okay, so here is what wisdom will protect you from. The evil man and the adulterous woman. Bad company corrupts good character. I mean, I remember, I can't tell you how many times. You're hanging out with who? Or when my dad found out, you know, who some of these kids were, you're not hanging out with them. You know. And God says the same thing, that we need to be wise about who we're running around with. Don't fall in, you know, get sucked into their devices and their schemes and their plans, which all of us probably have done at one point or another. When I was partying and stuff like that and running, I hung around with some guys and I got into some situations I could not believe that they would even come up with them. You know, I'd kind of go along with it, but then as it's happening, I didn't want to, I kind of recoil, but crazy what we're willing to do. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness. It's almost talking about, you know, have you ever been around somebody that's backsliding, that was walking with the Lord's backsliding? And because you're really close to them, him or her, you almost find yourself getting involved in those things. You know what, in 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church or whatever, walking the fence. This is talking about somebody who leaves the path of uprightness, who backslides, who becomes carnal. Wisdom, the wisdom of God will keep you from falling into that trap, from being drawn away from being upright, walking upright in righteousness, to walk in the ways of darkness. We've been called out of darkness. We just saw that, to walk in the light of Christ. And you notice the interesting thing today is those things that used to be done in the darkness and done in secret, they're doing in the light of day without shame. It's almost pornographic to talk about the things they allow in San Francisco, in the parks, the things that are being done in the light. No doubt, God, you know, the wickedness that is going on in the world is being done in the light. Beth and I are watching Beth likes watching it. It was on the TV. Thanksgiving Day parade in New York. All of a sudden, they went away from it. Well, come to find out, Palestinian protesters ran out on the street and glued themselves to the road. You can't fix stupid. And part of this, the book of Proverbs, and look, it's kind of harsh, but that's just the way it is. Part of it is don't be a fool. Don't be stupid. And don't participate in stupidity. But they're doing it right in front of everybody. And they're getting away with it. At least they think they're getting away with it. And mankind, because, you know, freedom to act stupid allows them to get away with it. What we're going to see is God's, and we know from Asaph and other of the, you know, writers of the scriptures, they're not going to get away with it. God sees it. He's not blind to what's going on. So it may seem like it, but they rejoice who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, the crookedness, crooked hearts, crooked thinking, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Their paths lead everywhere. There's, you know, we're called to the narrow path. Their path is wide. It ranges all over. We're called to the narrow path that leads to eternal life. Their path goes all over, leads to destruction. And then so it protects us. Wisdom, God's wisdom, protects us from evil men, and it protects us from the immoral woman, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. And notice that the seductress uses words, because we're men, right? Men are visual at what's in front of us, but we're audible to what's being said to us, at least the things that we want to hear. Sorry, ladies, don't get mad. Don't start saying, oh, my husband didn't listen to anything I do. But if you tell him that dinner's ready, right, or that he's handsome, or that you just, I appreciate you, you know, that or whatever, we hear that, right? And that the seductress knows that about the man. My, you're handsome. We like to hear that. Boy, she really gets me. But that's basically what it's saying. It's very simple. The seductress knows how to draw the attention, and wisdom says to stay clear of it. We don't listen to it. Who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God? Who has left her husband and turns from her husband? We see, and look, you know, when we were growing up, we just thought marriages got messed up because of idiot guys. That's honestly, you know, whether it's because of pornography or because, you know, eyes start wandering and stuff like that. I mean, hey, look, it's as bad from both sides now, of wandering eyes, a wandering heart, and everything else. Yet here's one that left or has turned from her husband and the vows that she has made to her husband. When you look at it, one of the things, the complaints that God had against the children of Israel, he called them adulteresses, adulterers and adulteresses, because they were worshiping other gods. And it's the same thing, drawing away, you know, drawing, to draw somebody away from their spiritual walk and stuff like that is just as dangerous, you know. Hey, look, and pastors aren't immune, and we see more and more of it today, pastors falling in the pulpit because of sexual immorality. and often with married women. Married men with married women. Because they no longer are seeking and living according to the wisdom of God. One of the biggest things, you know, in the preparation and in the study of God's word in order to present it to the body of Christ is it needs to apply to the teacher first. And I'm reminded of that as I'm reading this, because it protects, you know, it protects us. This is, I don't study just so you understand. I hope you understand that. I want you to understand, and I want you to know what the Word of God says. But I recognize, look, and you all have baloney meters. I think you would know if I was blowing smoke up here that it doesn't apply to me. It absolutely, it better apply to me first. I need to be protected. You know, that's why I will, just ladies, so you know, and some of the ladies, I will not meet with you one-on-one. If you want to talk to me, if you need to hear what the Word of God says, bring a friend, or I'll ask if somebody can come in with you, or that door will be open. You know, I watch the guy. We're very careful. Pastor Joe, Philadelphia, Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia, married men, if they are seen speaking to a woman other than their wife out in the parking lot, they're warned, and if it's something that they continue doing, they're removed from leadership. And be very careful. I know, and you know I'm a hugger, but one time I hugged and kissed my wife, and a lot of people that were a little bit newer here had said something to the people, so I think the elders may have come up and said, hey, you need to be careful about it. They didn't know that she was your wife, you know. So you got to be careful, you know, what we project, but not to open ourselves even up to it. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. And that, you know, and it might not be spiritual death. I mean, David committed adultery. He repented. There was forgiveness for sins and those things. But how many men and women get caught in their adultery or get caught in their sexual immorality because they pick up a sexually transmitted disease? You see, back when this was written, it was death. It was a death sentence. They didn't have penicillin. They didn't have any, you know, anything like that, like what we have today. But there are still sexually transmitted diseases today that can't be remedied. They can be hidden. They can be put into remission or whatever. But then it was a death sentence. And for some, even today, death sentence. Wasn't it Benjamin Franklin? Didn't some of our founding fathers? Was it Benjamin Franklin that had syphilis? I can't remember. That's gossip and rumor. Sorry, Lord. I take it back. It may not, but it was one of our prominent founding fathers, I believe, died from that. So it can lead to death if you get caught up in that. None who go to her return, nor do they regain or reach the paths of life. And so, because of this, you may walk, you know, because of wisdom, you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth. They'll be destroyed and the faithful will be uprooted from it. And so chapter 3, it directs our path. It directs our way and our walk. The wisdom, my son, my daughters, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my demands. That wholehearted, you know, and really what it's saying is make the seeking of wisdom and understanding and discretion and those things a devotion, not a duty. Oh, he said duty. No, duty, D-U-T-Y. Make it a devotion, a heart's desire. You know, that just like if you knew that there was a treasure in your backyard, devote yourself to the treasure that's in here, just like you would. You'd dig to China, right? If you were sure that there was a treasure in your backyard. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now, you know, what we need to understand is there are still people that are martyred. And people that it seems like die too soon. You know, and you read something like this and go, well, what does that mean? I look at it this way. Had I not surrendered my life to Christ when I surrendered my life to Christ, you know, there could have been a whole different plan for my life. It's very possible that that lengthened my days because God had a plan to use me and knew that I was going to surrender my life to Him. He's sovereign and He's provident. You know, His providence runs and rules. It runs my life and it runs your life too. But, you know, what does that mean? Length of days and long life and peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. And we know that God's law they were to put it on the frontlets, right? They were to dangle it in between their, or on their forehead and write it on their arm. Those things, the phylacteries, they would have little piece of paper rolled up and they'd have it in a scroll. Those things were to be bound to their heart. They were to be reminded of it right between the eyes. Write them on the tablet of your heart and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And, you know, we look at the story, we're reminded of the story of Jesus when he was with going to the temple. It would be his first time. It was probably after Bar Mitzvah, 13 years old. Was it 12, 13? And he remained in the temple. Mother Mary realized as they were part of the way home that Jesus wasn't with them. Frantic. Joseph, Jesus isn't with us. Oy vey. We've got to go back. And so they went back and she was all worried about him. Helicopter mom. Jesus said, look, everything's all right. Don't you know I need to be around about my father's business? And it says he submitted to them. He went back. And as he submitted to them, that he grew, right, in the knowledge of God and favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. So you want to be like Jesus. Be wise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. One of the first scriptures I ever memorized was this. I was thinking about, I told you that my mom, when I'd get in trouble, so I had probably been through the Proverbs a couple times when I was a kid, because when I did something, she would sit me down, make me read a chapter of the... Now, I was thinking back. I remember laughing hysterically one time. It made my mom laugh. And I think it was that scripture that says, a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool to his folly. Something that I read that impressed on me at an early age. And sadly, that was my fool's life, was doing the exact opposite of what God was speaking into my life at an early age. Isn't that something? But this one, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. The wheels will begin to fall off when you've got it. I talk about this before, and it was probably, it wasn't necessarily all on my understanding, But it was collective understanding of how we were going to get out of some debt and sell some property and pay off a second mortgage. And I had it all figured out. And as I thought I had it all figured out, and it became evident that it wasn't going to work the way that I knew that it should work, right? And that, you know, and I think the guys, we all hoped that that plan was going to work the way. Well, when it became evident, you know, I learned that you just trust in the Lord. He was the one that got us started, but the way that he worked all that out, and that's why we're still here today, because it wasn't going to work the way that we had planned it, that I had planned it, so. But I thought it was, and that happens in our lives. We think we know. I got this, Lord. Those famous last words that we often say, right? Kind of like that guy that used to go here that I know what I know what the Word of God says. Watched him careen out of, you know. In all your ways, trust the Lord with all your heart and in all your ways. All means all. Very wise. Even the little things. You ever find yourself doing that? Lord, this is what I really want to do. Should I do this? Is this what you're leading me to do? Is this a wise thing, Lord? Is it okay for me to go down that, you know, that path, or to go check that out or whatever? I mean, we give them every little thing, and we, right, we get sensitive to him in that communication and his leading and guiding us through his wisdom. And it's at those times, man, I can't tell you how many times that some scripture just pops up, or somebody, I mean, sometimes it was through my kids or whatever, you know, that God will say, yes, no, you know. All right. That's as far. I'm not going to get through everything. Chapter 3. This is a good place. I'd rather end there than on giving or chastening. So we'll get into giving and chastening. We'll end here. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't do it if it's not going to please him. He's watching all the time. He knows, he sees. He sees everything that's going on today. And everything is pointing to his soon return. I don't know how much longer they can keep it up. Till they ruin everything, till they lean on their own understanding and ruin everything. And I'm not just talking about America. So much of the rest of the world that was heavily influenced by the Word of God has already gone cold. So we're going to follow in their footsteps. Be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. And when the length of days, one thing I wanted to say, and I'll go back to that before, as we're going to come, because, you know, we're going to take communion together. And length of days and health and all of those things go beyond the physical. And so often we want the answers of the physical. What does that mean physically? What does that mean with my health? With how long I'm going to live? You know, why didn't that person live very long? But the reality of walking in wisdom and seeking wisdom and seeking God's wisdom and understanding, right, is understanding God's plan of salvation and redemption. And what Jesus Christ said when he said, take this bread,